I'm Tanzina Vega, and it's The Takeaway for Thursday, July 30th. Months into the pandemic, tens of thousands of small businesses around the country have closed, fundamentally changing the shape and feel of communities for decades to come. Some of those businesses closed despite getting federal aid, like Paycheck Protection Program loans that were meant to help small businesses weather the storm of COVID-19. Those PPP loans were part of a large federal relief package that started in April, but as we've talked about on this show, the rollout was messy, the terms were unclear, and in some cases, funds were distributed to huge companies like Shake Shack instead of small businesses.
At first, applying for PPP was pretty frustrating. I applied the first day that it became available to me or attempted to apply, with the first set of funds that came out. I did not receive a PPP loan. I'm also working through this nonprofit SF New Deal that I founded with over 100 other small businesses, and fewer than 5 of us got PPP in the first set of funds.
That's Lenore Estrada, the co-founder and owner of Three Babes Bake Shop in San Francisco, one of the small businesses that was hit hard by the pandemic and for whom the Paycheck Protection Program loans were intended. We're going to hear more from Lenore in a bit. In the meantime, the federal government is looking now to include another round of PPP loans in the next relief bill. And many small businesses say they're hoping for a better and clearer process. For an overview on how small businesses are doing in the U.S. right now and what's ahead, Amara Omokwe joins us. She's the economics reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Amara, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What were the main complaints that small businesses had about the rounds of PPP? What happened with the first rollout?
So the rollout was really rocky back in April. What happened is that The program is, the loans are issued by financial institutions and they are backed by the Small Business Administration. So when the program rolled out, it really required businesses to go to a financial institution to secure the loan. And a lot of businesses were saying that that put them at a disadvantage if they didn't have an existing relationship with, for instance, a bank, because a lot of the banks were prioritizing their existing customers because there was so much demand. And because of that demand, the initial round of funding ran out in about a week. So business owners that were looking for the funds, a lot of them were initially shut out. Also, this program has sort of been constantly evolving. Congress has been tweaking it as they went along in response to complaints about how the program wasn't working. And so it was just a difficult program for a lot of business owners to navigate, particularly if they didn't have, for instance, accountants and consultants who could kind of walk them through the application, help them understand the rules as they evolved. So a lot of the smallest of the small businesses, minority-owned businesses, they just didn't necessarily have the resources to navigate this program, particularly early on. And that was crucial because, of course, time was of the essence as businesses were dealing with social distancing measures and state-mandated closures.
Amara, was there anything in the fine print, if you will, in the terms of the loans that might have been more confusing for the population that you're talking about, those folks who may not have strong bank relationships or have personal accountants or anything like that? Were the terms of the loans also complicated?
What was complicated was that this is a loan that the loan amount was based on your payroll. So for instance, if you didn't necessarily have your payroll records organized, or maybe you just kind of kept them in your own way, if you were an independent contractor or sole proprietor, your payroll records might not have been as straightforward as a larger company that maybe uses a payroll processor. Also, some of these small, very small businesses like the sole proprietors and independent contractors actually weren't allowed to apply for the program until a week after other businesses. So they just got a late start in general.
Now, businesses are, these are loans from what we understand, although there are different ways or expectations about how they're supposed to be paid back, if at all. So can you explain the payback process and how that works?
Yes. So this is a forgivable loan program. So generally speaking, if businesses spend the majority of the loan on payroll, on retaining their workers or bringing back workers that they laid off, they are eligible to have the loans forgiven. So in essence, the loans are meant to be turned into a grant if business owners stay within the parameters of how they are allowed to use the money. So most of the money should be spent on payroll, the rest of it on certain overhead expenses like utilities and rent, and that will allow the loan to be forgiven.
Now, these loans, of course, were doled out as a result of the global pandemic. Part of the impetus behind them was to try and keep these small businesses afloat. Amira, have they been able to do that? Have PPP loans actually been able to save businesses?
I think business owners would tell you yes, that it was a critical lifeline for them, especially earlier on in the pandemic when things were essentially shut down and small businesses saw such a steep decline in demand and in sales. The issue now is that this pandemic and the crisis have gone on for much longer than PPP was designed for. So originally, business owners were only given 8 weeks to accrue the expenses that they could apply towards forgiveness. And that's just an indication of how short Congress initially believed this crisis would be. They've extended that time frame to 24 weeks. But again, some businesses started spending this money back in April, and they've run out of the money. And the crisis is still ongoing. So we've heard from business owners who said, you know, my PPP money ran out and I laid off workers because I just don't have the demand back yet. The sales aren't back yet. And now with this resurgence in cases that we're seeing all across the country, it adds a new level of uncertainty about when things are actually going to get back to normal. So a lot of small businesses are saying it's clear that they're going to need more support and they're going to need longer term support because this crisis is going on much longer than anyone originally anticipated.
Also, some of the PPP loans that were doled out in the early phases of the program went to large companies. We mentioned Shake Shack at the top of the show. How did that happen?
That's right. Well, Congress, when they designed the Paycheck Protection Program, they were really going for two things. They were going for speed, and they were going for sort of low barriers to entry. So they wanted small businesses to be able to get these loans with very little problems. They wanted to make it easy access. So bigger companies like Shake Shack and the Lakers, they ultimately returned their loans. But it wasn't that they shouldn't have gotten the loans. The way the law was written, they were eligible for the loans. But what happened was there was public backlash, and the public was really asking, are these kinds of companies the ones that really should be getting the loans? Even though they're eligible, are they the ones that should be taking these funds that were meant to keep sort of mom and pop businesses afloat? So that's what happened. The sort of the speed and the low barrier to entry kind of made it so that a lot of different types of companies could get the money.
We should note here for transparency that WNYC also received some PPP money. Now, I'm wondering, you know, we've been talking a lot about small businesses and the impact that these loans have had, but I'm seeing a lot of small businesses closing. The New York Times, for example, reported that there are so many small businesses that are just saying, look, we can't stay open. Do we have any sense of how many small businesses or what percentage of small businesses are closing just because of the pandemic, whether they have PPP loans or not, and how many more we can expect to lose coming in the upcoming months, given that this has lasted longer than was expected?
Yeah, it's an evolving situation, and it's hard to say right now how many closures are going to be permanent closures. But an economist at UC Santa Cruz, Robert Fairley, he has been tracking this. He found that in April, the number of active U.S. business owners was down nearly 25% compared with February. So that was actually a very steep decline. The number of active business owners, according to his analysis, has rebounded in May and June. But what's notable is that the rebound hasn't been as robust for Black-owned businesses and immigrant businesses. And that is just another sign of how this pandemic is disproportionately affecting certain communities over others. So it's not clear how many of these closures are going to be permanent ones, but certainly as we've been talking about, this crisis is going on very long. Revenues aren't coming back for some small businesses. And so it is, you know, feasible to believe that a lot of businesses just aren't going to be able to survive this in the end.
There's another element to this that we've been thinking about, too. I mean, a lot of us probably know, you know, our local coffee shop or our, you know, the place where you get your sandwiches and just, you know, or your paper every day. And how is the loss of all these small businesses changing the feel and the culture of neighborhoods across the country?
Well, I think what's interesting is that small businesses are very prevalent in sectors that require sort of in-person contact. So small businesses are very prevalent in the leisure and hospitality industry. They're very prevalent in personal services like barbershops and hair salons, as we're talking about. And so I think that as consumer sort of habits have shifted because of social distancing, because of state mandated closures, these ways of connecting where small businesses are sort of concentrated aren't there anymore. And that just doesn't allow for a lot of these kind of personal connections with your barber, your hairstylist, that we're used to.
What kind of PPP loans are planned or expected for the next relief package?
So Congress, the Republicans released their proposal for small businesses earlier this week. They're proposing about $190 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program and the next round of aid. And they're also proposing that some small businesses would be allowed to take a second PPP loan. So as things stand now, you can only take one PPP loan. And that's why as companies run out of the money, they kind of don't have another option because they're not allowed to take another one. So that's a proposal that's on the table. The Republicans have also proposed another sort of recovery loan program that would allow businesses to take out longer term loans. And that's again in recognition of the fact that this crisis is just lasting a lot longer than anyone anticipated. It is notable, though, that the Democrats passed their own sort of the HEROES Act several weeks ago, which has their own provisions for small businesses. And Republicans and Democrats are going to have to come together and sort of reconcile their provisions and what they would like to see for small businesses in the next round of aid. And it's unclear like where the common ground is right now.
And to that point, I just want to close out. We've got about a minute left here, but I'm wondering whether or not there are special provisions or incentives for minority and women-owned small businesses, given that they were least successful in obtaining these loans in the first place.
That's something that small business advocates and lawmakers, I think on both sides of the aisle, are pushing for. It's not clear what those provisions are going to look like yet, but one thing that they're pushing for is funding for community lenders in particular, because those kinds of lenders really focus on underserved communities.
Amara Omokwe is the economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about small businesses and how many of them, even some who received PPP loans from the government, say they're continuing to struggle. So we're going to check in now with a small business owner who's joined us on the show before to hear how she and her food business are faring months into the crisis. Lenore Estrada is the co-founder and owner of Three Babes Bake Shop in San Francisco. Lenore, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks, Tanzina. Good to speak with you.
Thank you. And let's ask you, first off, how are you holding up? It's been 4 months since you last spoke to us on the show with my colleague Amy Walter, but it's also been 4 months of pandemic. So how have you been?
I've been doing okay. Gosh, it's kind of hard to believe that it's been this long since we've been kind of stuck at home, but that's okay. I'm still hanging in there, and my company is still going strong. I also founded a nonprofit in response to the coronavirus at the end of March, and that has been growing. So I'm now kind of running two companies, so more than ever before. I'm also 7 months pregnant, so I'm getting ready for my second child to get here in a few months.
So you're not busy at all, Lenore.
You know, it's actually kind of nice to have a sense of purpose, but certainly there's a lot of work to do.
So we're hearing a lot. I mean, you're one of the I guess, success stories in this, although we have been hearing a lot about small businesses across the country that are closing. I'm seeing some in my own neighborhood. And some of these businesses have actually gotten PPP loans, the Paycheck Protection loans that came through the federal government. What was your experience with the PPP loan?
At first, applying for PPP was pretty frustrating. I applied the first day that it became available to me, or I attempted to apply, I should say. With the first set of funds that came out, I did not receive a PPP loan. I'm also working through this nonprofit, SF New Deal, that I founded with over 100 other small businesses, and fewer than five of us got PPP in the first set of funds.
I'm sorry, Lenore, can you say that again? I just want to make sure I understood. You said you're working with who? How many businesses?
Well, there were 111 businesses that were working with through SF New Deal. And out of those, five got funded the first in the first round of PPP that was released. And then in the second round that was released, we assisted people in applying through alternative funders. So, for example, Square or PayPal rather than a larger bank. And we had a much higher percentage of people report that they had received PPP, so around 70%. But the first time, five businesses, so fewer than 5%. And all of those had sophisticated investors or kind of on the larger size in terms of kind of age and maturity of business. So I received funding in the second sort of weight tranche of funds that were released.
Lenore, what was it that you said out of 111 small businesses that you've been working with, only five got PPP loans in the first round? What led to that small percentage? Was there something in particular? Was the form, was it complicated to understand? Like, what happened? Was it a question of access or even awareness that these funds were available?
It certainly wasn't due to a lack of awareness. As I mentioned, I applied and I have established banking relationships. I bank with both Chase and Wells Fargo and have taken out loans in the past. And have lines of credit open with both banks, and was not able to get funding. And I think a big part of that was the banks themselves. It sounded like they were kind of bogged down in process, trying to sort of set up the infrastructure or something. And the people who got funding, I mean, I know so few businesses received funding, but the ones who did were all people who had sophisticated investors and who just kind of had more funding or who had accountants on staff to kind of assist them with the process early on. And so I think it's really, like with everything, it's about relationships. So if you have a relationship with someone who has more of a vested interest in you succeeding because they've already loaned you a lot of money, you're more likely to be at the front of the line, which I'm sure is what happened the first time. And then, you know, after that was when there was kind of like a uproar about, you know, large companies accepting the money and using it for giving dividends to investors or using it to make acquisitions. I knew of a fair number of businesses actually here in San Francisco who are much more established or companies that didn't really need the money who took it initially and you know, used it to like offset their labor costs and then buy competitors. So that kind of stuff was really infuriating. But then in the second round of money released, many more people I know, including myself, received funds.
I'm wondering if it's too early to tell, but to that end, even though you're doing a lot of significant work here, do you think that your business is going to, you know, if we check in with you a year from now, what's the prognosis? What do you think?
You know, one of my staff members asked me this at the beginning of the crisis, like, are we going to be here on the other side? And my answer was, I don't really know. But the one thing I have going for me is I never give up. So I do think, like, if there's a shot, we'll probably be here. I think one thing people don't realize is most small business owners I know, like if you own a small community-based business, you have to guarantee all of your own loans. So the consequences of closing are actually quite extreme. And a lot of small business owners are in this spot, either because they've borrowed money from the bank, or in the case of a lot of businesses, especially small businesses who are owned by immigrants and Black and Brown people. And so if they did, they would still have to personally guarantee, but many people go to friends and family and borrow money. So if you're closing and losing that investment, the ramifications and the ripple effect for your whole community of friends and family can be quite large. The consequences for myself and my family would be very extreme if I just decided to close. Like, I would have to declare personal bankruptcy.
Lenore Estrada is the co-founder and owner of Three Babes Bake Shop in San Francisco. Lenore, thanks so much, and stay safe and stay in touch.
Thanks, Tanzina. Have a great day. Bye.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.